Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Tonight on Love and Respect, a conversation with comedian, actor, and former In Living Color star, Tommy Davidson.
Stand up personally to me is just as a performer is the bomb because I'm not dependent on anything.
Yeah.
It's me. So you get my mind, you get my perspective. I get to take you on a ride. And it's an art form, you know, and it is the backbone of my whole career.
Tommy Davidson, coming up right now. Tommy, thank you for coming to Love and Respect.
Thanks for having me.
You've played a tremendous part in my life. So one of the first places I ever recall seeing you, I believe it was a Robert Townsend special.
Okay.
And you were like one of the first guys out. I'll never forget, you were doing impressions. Mm-hmm. And to be an impression, you don't have to literally look and sound like her, but you just have to capture their spirit. I saw you within the course of 8 minutes capture Prince, Al Jarreau, Michael Jackson, and Rick James.
Yeah.
And my mother was a big music fan, so I knew every imitation was dead on. You had me cracking up then and now. I watched it again this morning. It's still just as funny.
I think so too.
So like where did the impressions come from? Where did like you were dead on?
I didn't know that they were even called impressions until I was like a couple of years into doing stand up.
Yeah.
Because I always imitated things.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be around the house doing Al Jarreau. You know, my mother would be like, can you shut that up, please? You know? Then she saw him on TV one time, and she turned to me and said, do that again? You know, so I knew it was fun to do.
The Al Jarreau McDonald's bit was hilarious. I've got a taste for McDonald's right on the tip of my tongue.
Keep going.
No.
Come on, you got that.
I don't have it.
I got a taste for McDonald's right on the tip of my tongue. I'ma tell you all got I said, for McDonald's, I got to have me some. Ooh, give me McDLT. Oh, I love to taste it. Love some golden fries. Like, by the time you finish, people behind the counter going.
You're too good. I can't. But I remember coming back to school and everybody imitating whichever their favorite was. Al Jarreau was funny to me.
Okay.
He was jazzed by nature, but everybody loved the Prince.
Yeah.
My mom loved the Rick James, and the Michael Jackson was just the icon of our time. You killed it.
Oh, man. It was, speaking of icon of time, those artists were so big at the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you look back at that now, that's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So those artists were hot.
Just.
So I was really, really proud to be able to bring that forward and bring that to the audience.
Yeah, you crushed it. And then the next time I remember seeing you pop up is on this amazing show that comes out while I'm in high school called The Living Color.
Living Color. Walk on the moon, float like a balloon. Never too soon. Take it from me as I like to be.
In Living Color.
And how would you feel knowing prejudice was obsolete and all mankind danced to the exact beat and at night it was safe to walk down the street.
In Living Color.
Ebony Townsend. Who the hell are you, man?
Who's asking?
What was crazy about Living Color is we were a generation that had grown up. My grandparents raised me, so I grew up watching Carol Burnett's show, grew up watching Barbara Mandrell and her sisters, grew up watching variety and sketch shows.
Lawrence Welk.
But we didn't see us on there. And not that they weren't, they were great shows. Mm-hmm. And you never thought about, why don't we have a black version? And then the Wayans family comes in, wham!
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And you guys, mm-hmm. I literally remember it just being like hyperspeed. You guys were music, you were fashion, mm-hmm. you were comedy, mm-hmm. you were culture. Mm-hmm. Could you talk about In Living Color, the invite? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the acceptance? And did you, when you finally said, I made it, did you feel like, man, I'd have made it? I'd have did it. And because you're on TV and it's a hit show.
Yeah, I felt, you know, the first time I got on camera, I froze.
Really?
Because the reality hit me. I'd worked in all those years and then I finally was on TV and that red camera came on and I realized, all these people are gonna see me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and people were coming over to me, you all right. Finally, Damon Wayans comes up to me, he said, boy, you work too hard for this.
Yeah.
You know, you got your family, you got, hey, you work for this and you deserve it. So I ain't turned off since.
I see.
I'm turned off since.
Good evening, pupils. Welcome to the Hollywood School of Self-Defense. Now stand to greet your sensei, Sweet Tooth Jones.
Right on.
Let me ask you about In Living Color. So you guys, a lot of you guys kept tight, whether mm-hmm. it was Wayans, David Allen Greer. I've heard Jim Carrey even speak to the fact that no white shows would hire him. Mm-hmm. He got hired by, so he's always given praise. You have continued to work with people mm-hmm. post In Living Color, right? What has kept you continuing to work mm-hmm. with the people you like so much? And what's kept that family unit? Because it's provided tons of great entertainment
for
us, which means at some point everybody mm-hmm. put their ego to the side. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of my life experience and my experience of becoming an artist on all levels.
Yeah.
And the experience that came from that, but mainly talent, mainly my talent. You know, my talent is God-given and that gift has taken me so many places.
Yeah.
And post In Living Color gave me a chance to use my other talents in other areas. And plus I love people.
Yeah.
I just love people. All of us, you know, really tight from back then, and we see each other all the time.
Yeah.
Because we're all in the same circle. We're all doing what we do, you know.
I really see you guys as opportunity, or that family in mm-hmm. particular, mm-hmm. and post that stuff you've done, we'll talk about later in the interview, as mm-hmm. opportunity mm-hmm. providers. And it seems like the people that were involved in the show are of good character, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That. Oh, yeah. It's a great family. You know, they kiss each other on the cheek when they see each other, man.
So you're part of this big family. Family is it's at the beginning, it's a huge hit, and the world knows you for it, mm-hmm. but I never knew that your family didn't look like you.
Right,
and
right.
you ended up writing a book, Living in Color.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, my family is a family of Kodiak bears. just to get that straight.
Yeah, you know. Straight. I would have called them polar bears. But you were...
Actually, golden marmosets.
Shut.
You know what those are. No, go ahead.
You're at 18 months old. Uh-huh. You're abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And you're adopted by a white couple and white family. You have mm-hmm. two siblings that are white. Your mom and dad are white. They divorced at five. But what was it like? You know, I'm from Atlanta. I didn't even have three white teachers my whole life. Yeah, I'm from a neighborhood
wow.
that was started by right. black folks. So I didn't really get to know white folks when I was in my teens. What was that like? What was it like growing up in a family of people who didn't look like you, mm-hmm. but obviously loved you.
Right, right.
And in writing your memoir, mm-hmm. it was almost a challenge from your sister uh-huh. saying you never talk about our mom.
Mm-hmm.
So
I never thought of them as white.
Gotcha.
Because I didn't know what white was.
Yeah.
You know, when I from 18 months to five, that was my family. So what I knew was love, and I knew friendship, and I knew honesty. Like, my family talked about a lot of stuff. We had discussions, and you know, we were very, very, very tight. So I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about black and white until I turned like five.
And what happened at five that you?
We moved from Fort Collins, Colorado uh-huh. to Washington, D.C. And we moved there during the riots of '68 when King got shot.
Gotcha.
So when we moved in, ironically, the riots that I'm seeing now, I saw them as a little kid.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I saw, was fires and people running everywhere and tear gas and all this thing, you know? And me and my sister, my brother are going, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
What have we moved into? You know, so it wasn't until a couple of days later, and until things calmed down, maybe it had been a couple months later, we went out to try to play with the kids.
Yeah.
You know? And the black kids that I know were black then beat our asses every day. And they were calling my sister and my brother white cracker.
Yeah.
And they were calling me white cracker lover.
Yeah.
This is when the black and white stuff came in. So I went to my mama, I got mad, you know, I'm like, yeah. Why are they calling me a white cracker lover? I like graham crackers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm five. White crackers are kind of dry. You got to have water with them or something. Or you got to have some macaroni salad or something.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Something you'd be done died of a white cracker, you know? But you have a graham cracker, you go down, slide on down with some apple juice, you know?
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, so she said, that's what people your color call people our color when they don't like them. And I was like, okay, well, what color are they? She said, they're black. And I said, no, they're brown, because I learned my colors from the crayons.
Yeah.
She said, I know, but that's what we call it.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, that's stupid, right? You hating someone for a color they really aren't.
Yeah.
You know, eventually moved from that neighborhood to the suburbs as something that would really change.
Your adoptive parents divorce at five. Mm-hmm. You end up in D.C. You see the products of the results mm-hmm. of racism mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. through riots and mm-hmm. through black people, kids mm-hmm. kind of pushing back on mm-hmm. you. You're not accepted, or you hear the word for the first time. You start to learn. But then at some point you get black friends. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the guys with you today has known you since you were 9 years old. You guys have been mm-hmm. tight. Can you talk about what does black friendship or building friendships, what does that feel like, or what is it like? Does it start to transform or soften some of the BS you're going through? Could you talk about friendship?
When I first moved to D.C. where I lived, I had all different kinds of friends.
Gotcha.
When I was like, I'd say anywhere from 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so in my backyard, I had Nigerian friends, Indian friends, Latino friends,
yeah.
You know, and we all were friends, you know, not like the friends that's on TV that they don't have any black friends,
yeah.
but but those were like my buddies,
yeah.
You know, but as I got older and the neighborhood started changing, a lot of kids started moving to the neighborhood from in the city.
Yeah.
From in the inner city.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in sort of a combination between the suburb and the city. So we were kind of a in-between point. So all of the things that come with that,
yeah.
All of the things that come with that, all the, you know, the violence and all the crime and all the stuff that comes with that,
yeah.
You know. And when I look back on it all now, it's a natural outgrowth.
Yeah.
To stick together in those settings. The extreme would be gangs.
Yes, sir.
So that's really the conjugal reality of it.
Yeah.
You know, but growing up in that setting did force me into who I am,
yeah.
As a black person. But it didn't necessarily have to do with violence. It didn't necessarily have to do with crime. It had to do with culture, too.
Yeah.
For instance, in the first grade, when I went first grade, they were teaching us the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes.
So I threw up the Black Power fist.
Yeah.
You know, and I got in trouble for it by the principal. And they all walked me down, the principal, and he was like, "This guy's, you know, he thinks he's a comedian." That's the first time I heard that. I'm like, maybe one day I will be. You know. So I get down to the principal's office, and he's like, "You're the funny guy." You know. So he called my mom. I'm like, "You don't want to do that, boy. You don't want to call her. She was something, boy. She come in there." She said, "What's the problem?" And they said, "He raised the Black Power fist in class when we were doing the Pledge of Allegiance." And she said, "That's all he knows about himself. That's what he knows. You know, he knows about the movement of his people.
Yeah.
He loves James Brown, 'Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.' It's what he knows.
Yeah.
Now he will learn what you have to teach him, but it's like the first day of school."
Yeah.
You know? And then I got in trouble later on, but not trouble, but she said, you know, there's a place for everything.
Yeah.
You know? And she was kind of really that kind of balanced person.
Yeah.
She said, "School is for everyone and every color."
Yeah.
You know, and that will become a movement for everybody.
Yeah.
You know.
So all Black school, I got in trouble mm-hmm. for not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, really?
Because conservative Black folks believe in this country.
I need Kaepernick on the phone. Kaepernick. Where are you, Kaepernick?
Talk about stand-up, because now as more comedians mm-hmm. are coming offline and things of that nature, everything from TikTok to fan base
right.
has an opportunity for mm-hmm. young people. But say Ryan Davis is a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I found him on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
but his stand-up is mm-hmm. sharp and amazing.
Okay.
Talk about what makes stand-up a place of therapeutic for mm-hmm. you or a place mm-hmm. of sanity for you. What is it about doing stand-up that keeps you coming back when you may not have to?
Mm-hmm. It's a place I can pay my mortgage and my child support payments.
Straight up, give it up. Thank you, my brother. The Road.
I'm on alimony tour.
The Road.
I look like Kermit the Frog right now. Okay. No, you know, stand-up personally to me is just as a performer is the bomb, because I'm not dependent on anything.
Yeah.
It's me. So you get my mind, you get my perspective. I get to take you on a ride. And it's an art form.
Yeah.
You know, and it is the backbone of my whole career.
Yeah.
You know, but we had a plan. We had a 15-year plan. I was gonna start as a stand-up,
mm-hmm.
go into TV, mm-hmm. have specials,
mm-hmm.
go from that to movies, then go from that into music, literature, directing, producing, and all that stuff. And actually, we did it within those years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm at that cycle where I can pretty much do anything that I want to do.
So you could do mm-hmm. What Robert Townsend did for you. You could mm-hmm. do for other people. What mm-hmm. King.
Yeah.
And the cast, you can do for other people.
I do it all the time.
You have a beautiful wife.
Hold on, let me put this here really quick.
No. Your wife is smoking hot. She looks like
thank
Coco's
you, man.
Girl,
thank
right?
you.
You man.
Chris Rock said she looked like Coco in high school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What I mean?
Well, yeah, you see, definitely Coco niece. People who don't know what you're talking about, IC is married to a very voluptuous, beautiful woman uh-huh. who happens to be white. You uh-huh. are uh-huh. also. She looks like she's on point. Y'all uh-huh. always look slick uh-huh. together. You guys have some. First of all, tell me about her.
Okay.
And why'd you marry her? Is she similar to your mom?
Mm.
Was there something that brought you? Was it integrity principle mm-hmm. or the fact she just dropped dead fine?
That's part of it, right?
Okay.
There.
Okay. Now I have to admit
that's
that when I talk about
that's
my wife,
part of
she
it.
Was fine.
You know, no, it was just it was about a relationship
yeah.
and the type of relationship that I wanted. You know, and to tell you the truth, earlier in my life, I didn't want to get with a white woman because I thought that people would think, oh, it's because you got a white family and
yeah.
this, then the other. But I'm smart enough as a man and have enough experience in relationships and watching relationships and knowing, you know, I haven't mastered them. But
yeah,
but my choosing process had to do with where I was in my life
yeah.
and where she was in her life
yeah.
and how I thought that would work complementary for the two of us.
Yeah.
You know, it would benefit the both of us.
Yeah.
Know?
And benefiting the both of you guys, mm-hmm. you guys seem to have benefited the world in that you created Tongue in Cheek.
Mm-mm.
You want to talk about that and Ties That Bind? You created a for-profit business,
mm-mm.
and meaning you create ties uh-huh. and things of that nature. Ralph Lauren started making ties.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a company that's probably going to be bought by Louis Vuitton one day and a billion-dollar company. Mm-hmm. But yet, mm-hmm. beyond for-profit, you and your wife decided to help men and women, mm-hmm. men in particular, mm-hmm. that are going back into the workforce. Mm-hmm. Friend of mine named Seth out in L.A. does something similar. Mm-hmm. But you provide ties and you provide mm-hmm. a look so that when people going in for jobs and things, mm-hmm. they're going in with a sense of dignity. Because mm-hmm. what Deion Sanders said, look good, because when you look good, you play good. And when you play good, they pay good.
Thank you.
You're helping yeah. people to...
that's the D right there. What's up, D?
Talk to me about your companies mm-hmm. and your charitable work that you and Amanda are doing in terms of helping people.
It's just a balance. It's just a balance, you know. My mother worked for Housing and Urban Development, so she would do a lot of housing work for Section 8. She always was involved with people in the neighborhood. She was like an activist in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
she convinced the police department to not have officers come to our neighborhood unless they were called.
Yeah,
because we were having a lot of trouble with that. She also changed our apartments into co-op property so that everybody can buy their own
yeah.
apartment. And she also would bring groceries home when we was on welfare and start sending kids home with food, you know? So that, I mean, I think that's the root
yeah.
of it, just knowing how special it is now at 58, you know, looking back as a 9-year-old, I'm like, what are you giving him that for?
Yeah.
His little kids walking out the house with a carton of milk that's bigger than him, you know?
Yeah.
And she get mad at me. She, you don't tell me what I give somebody something for.
Yeah.
You be thankful for what you got. What do you have? Do you have something?
Absolutely.
And I was like, yeah. So those were squeezed into me.
Yeah.
You know, and then just watching the world at large.
Yeah.
Like my first job at IHOP, I was... there was a woman who lived in my neighborhood, African woman, and a white customer walked in and was like cussing her out, calling just all kind of the worst stuff. You know, and then when the manager came out there, he said, you're fired to her. To her. So I made a decision at that point that, you know, one, I'm never gonna be in a position, or I don't wanna be in a position. I don't want to.
Yeah.
As much as I can be in a position where someone can control
Absolutely.
My destiny.
Absolutely.
And I also encourage and have worked for people in the workplace
yeah.
to feel a sense of worth because, like I said, yeah. you know, the pressure that this country brings to the table,
yeah.
it's about getting to the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But... look at all the people at the bottom.
You have a very Moses-like mm-hmm. existence and mm-hmm. a child that was abandoned mm-hmm. and raised mm-hmm. with people who were honestly mm-hmm. considered the power mm-hmm. base in this country. It's just an mm-hmm. amazing outcome. And so thank your mom, mm-hmm. thank your siblings, uh-huh. you know, thank the mm-hmm. friendship circle you've had, because we truly have a treasure in you, and I appreciate you mm-hmm. for representing mm-hmm. our love and respect. Thank you so much. Love you, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.